Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service this morning. It's going to be led by Martin. So I will hand straight over to Martin for him to...
carry on. Thank you very much, Adrian. And thank you for the preparation of the slides and everything else you do every week. We do appreciate your hard work in putting that together. So let me just welcome us all together as we come to worship God. And let's open with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to come together, even though we are continuing to do this virtually, into your presence. We pray that as we hear from your word, as we sing hymns of praise, as we listen to what you have to say to us and we share together in prayers, we ask that you would be with us and that you would bless us and encourage us and send us forth having learned and been challenged by you. Amen. So together we'll sing our first hymn, which is Praise God From Whom All Blessings Flow. Thank you, Adrian.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. From whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son,
that song, because I think sometimes we need just to be reminded as to why we gather together, and we gather together to praise God from whom all blessings flow. Father, we thank you for those words, that reminder of why we are here. Help us to open our hearts to you, to praise you, to be reminded of all that you have done for us and all the blessings that you flow upon us. We just delight to be in your presence. Amen. Our first reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, and Ma is going to read that for us. Thank you, Ma.
Thank you. I'll be reading from Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 to 15. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So the man and his wife hid and kept themselves hidden from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than any animal of the field. On your belly you shall go, and thus you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Ma. There's such a lot in that short passage from Genesis that one can bring out. And really, I want to focus on one part. I've rewritten this section about three times this week and have ended up with this. And the bit I want to focus on is what I'm going to call the big question. Where are you? Adam and Eve are hiding because God is walking in the garden and they can hear him walking, and they have had their eyes opened because they've disobeyed God. And God is walking around and Adam and Eve are hiding in the bushes. And God says this question, where are you? I think it's important to understand God didn't ask this question because he had lost Adam and Eve. He knew exactly where they were. But he asks the question of Adam so that Adam can be honest. Adam's got a chance to be truthful about their situation. God doesn't lose sight of what's going on. God doesn't ever lose sight of any of us. But quite often, I do believe, he asks us the question, where are you? And it's a chance for us to reflect on where we are in our lives, where we are in our relationship with him. And it's a question that we need to think very, very carefully about before we answer. So the question, where are you? Are we hiding? We should be standing out in society. We should be different. Our attitudes should be different, and our speech should be different, and our lifestyles should be different, so that we are standout in society. And when people meet us and see us, they should be saying, you're one of those Christians. We shouldn't need to be telling them. There should be something about the way we live that makes us stand out. So with that question in mind, I want to ask us all to consider over the next few days and over the next week maybe about where we are. Are we hiding in plain sight? Have we, the church in general, become chameleon-like in our world? Do we blend in with everything because it's an easier way to live? Because we avoid trouble and we can survive by blending in. Should we, as Christians today, be looking for a quiet life? I think the question that God asked Adam and Eve in the garden has been reverberating in my head and my heart these past few days. God has been saying to me, Martin, where are you? And it's quite a thing to have to consider before I go back to him with an answer. So I think maybe we all need to consider that question. And I think maybe we need to carefully consider and look at the question, Kingsthorpe Baptist Church, Kingsthorpe Methodist Church, where are you? I think it's a prayerful thing we need to be considering over the next few days and weeks and months. God never loses sight of us. He's always there and always loves us. And that thought in mind. I want us to sing our second song tonight, this morning. Abba Father, Let Me Be. Should be to say that to God, that we want to be his alone. And in a society that we live in, I think it's a very difficult thing to be God's alone. I think there's so many pressures on us from society. We're going to have our second reading now, which is going to be taken from a YouTube clip, and it's Mark chapter 3 verses 20 to 35.
And they went into an house, and the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, He is beside himself. The scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies, wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Because they said, He hath an unclean spirit.
Yeah.
There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother.
So we come to another fairly well-known situation where Jesus is teaching. And as always, we read in the scriptures when Jesus started to teach, large crowds gathered. And it seems to be just what happened when he was, whenever he was moving around and teaching. Jesus responds to the needs of the crowd by working miracles, by casting, by healing, and by casting out demonic spirits. And at this point, the Pharisees and the Sadducees accuse him of having a devil inside him, which is how he can do these things. Now, I don't want to go into all the other aspects of the story. I really want to think about Jesus's actions and his response to this accusation. And I wonder how we as church respond when we see somebody working miracles in our society today. I think we tend to be very skeptic. It's almost like we've lost sight of the fact that God is able to perform the miraculous, and we become how are these people trying to trick people into what, you know, believing or making them think that they're healed. When we see people working in miraculous ways, is our first thought, praise God, God is working miracles and God is still working today? Or do we tend to go more down the line of, I'm not sure about this, I'm not sure what's going on, or this doesn't feel right, because we can't maybe get our heads around it? So in the same way, it was the teachers, the church, that restricted the work of God when Jesus was physically moving. And I think maybe in some cases, we, the church, have become our own worst enemy. I think we have almost lost sight of the God that we trust in, and we've pinned him into little boxes, and we don't expect miraculous things to happen. We don't expect God to speak to us. We don't expect God to really be involved in our lives. It's something that we just have lost sight of. And I think the church can restrict God's working by disputing with one another and questioning when people are moving in God's power. Jesus clearly responded with the parable of the divided house that cannot stand. And again, I'd written down all my notes the other night, and then in the middle of the night, I couldn't get to sleep and things were buzzing around my head. So I got up and sat in front of my notes and asked God what he was trying to say. And I think the phrase that Jesus said is, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And we often will say that when we're talking about everything else, but we don't often look at it in terms of the church. If a house divided against itself cannot stand, then while we are fighting for our denomination or for our belief or for what we understand in scriptures, then we are dividing the church, and therefore the church cannot stand. And now I'm not saying we shouldn't have denominations and we shouldn't have different showings of church, but we should at least be supporting and working with one another rather than pulling them to bits. And I think this is the challenge. In the same way we had the question, where are you? I wonder today if God is saying to the church, where are you? Because we're bickering almost amongst ourselves, as in all the denominations, you know, we've got to hold on to that. We've got to hold on to that. We've got to hold on to that rather than working together. A divided house cannot stand. Now, many years ago, when I was at Pastor's Church, I was asked to speak at the Week of Christian Unity. And the message that came clearly to me was, we need one another, because one person's style of worship fits a particular church, one person's style fits a different church. We don't all fit into the same category. So we need one another. We need the different churches. But what I actually understood there was that Jesus prayed in the garden of one evening, not in the garden of Gethsemane, but he prayed that his prayer was, I pray that they, Christians, the church, will be one as you and I are one, as God and the Father are one. He says, I pray that they will be one as you and I are one. And then he finishes it by saying, because then the world will see that you sent me. And it took me years and years to understand this. Jesus is saying unity in the church, not a divided house, but unity is important because then the world will see that you sent me. So God's heart and desire is that for all people to experience his power and his loving forgiveness. And we, the church, are charged with the task of presenting that message. So what are our thoughts and our responses to that task? We talk of unity, of working with other denominations, but is this really a possibility? Are we prepared to make it a possibility? Are we prepared to maybe put aside our traditions and our thoughts and our understanding of the scriptures to work with other Christians? I remind us all of God's question earlier, where are you? The church has learned to blend into our society to avoid being called names, to avoid the troubles of people calling us out of date and stuff. But it keeps us out of the limelight. But what made Jesus so different and noticeable was his miracles, his teaching, his compassion. He was different, and we have been called to be his body in our society. And at the end of that story, it says about Jesus' human family come to take him in hand. And he says, who are my mother and my brother and my sisters? And he looks around at those that are with him in his mission. And he says, here are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. Those who do the will of God are my family. So I want to leave you with this question. Are you in that family that Jesus sees? Am I in that family? Are we brothers and sisters? Are we fulfilling the calling? It's a hard message, I think, and it's one that I've been really struggling with this week about where I am in my Christian faith. And I think it's something we all need to consider, particularly as we are in the throes of coming back from a lockdown where we've not been able to meet together. And as we go back to being a church that physically meets together, we need to consider where we are in our society. It's a bit of treading on toes, and I sort of apologise that I've been the one to bring it, but in a sense, I don't apologise because I think we need to consider it. So we're going to sing the fact that God doesn't reject us because we get it wrong, but he remains our friend. So what a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you.
sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Have we trials and temptations?
And with everything else that we've considered, and we've got such a great friend in Jesus, we'll now do our prayers of intercession, which this morning Freddie has agreed to lead us in. So thank you, Freddie.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of life. Lord God, we thank you for enabling us to meet yet another day through this amazing technology forum and to worship you. We continue praying for many parts of the world that are suffering from the effect of COVID-19. We also remember to pray for some of the world leaders who have taken advantage of the pandemic to benefit themselves. May they have the conviction to turn to you and seek your face. We want to pray for the Palestinians and the Jewish that, Lord God, may both countries find a lasting solution for peace and may they live together in harmony. We want to pray for our leaders here in the UK. Lord, thank you for the men and women who serve our country in leadership roles and for their families. Please provide our leaders with reminders each day of why they decided to dedicate their lives to public service and to use that commitment to encourage themselves. God help our church and church leaders to walk in a manner worthy of the calling you have given us. Help us in all our interaction with one another to have a humble and gentle heart as your word teaches us in the scriptures. Grant us patience for one another, bearing with one another in love. May you grant the body of Christ in unity. Finally, let's pray for the divine increase for divine increase concerning church growth across every city and nation. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy kingdom, power, and the glory are yours, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for doing that for me, Freddie. And as we come to sing our final song together, I've gone back to the song that we started our service with, Praise God, From Whom All Blessings Flow. I chose to do this because I think it focuses our hearts and reminds us as to why we are in this life as individual Christians and also as a church. It's a different version of it, as in it's not the same one video that we watched earlier, but it's a different one, but it's the same words, and it reminds us that every blessing flows from God. So let us join together and sing once again, Praise God, From Whom All Blessings Flow.
I got that wrong, Martin. It is the same one. Sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. It's the same one, then I stand corrected.
I misread your instructions. Sorry.
All right.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh, 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 oh. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Ooh, 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 ooh. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Let's pray as we close. Heavenly Father, I want to bring this service to a close by saying, I'm sorry for the times that I haven't stood out for you, that I've allowed myself to become chameleon-like and to blend in with life around me. Help me to be the light that you have called me to be. Help me to be the messenger that you have called me to be. And I pray that as we go into this coming week, you would pour your blessings upon your church. Lord, every person who is present at this meeting, who is listening to this meeting through YouTube or off the website, I pray your blessings would flow upon them, and that you, Lord, would cause us to be lights in our lives, that people that we come into contact with would say, there is something different about
you. Get some water.
That I need to know. And Father, I pray that you would bless and encourage each one of us and draw us closer to yourself. In your name, amen. Mm-hmm. We'll join together and say the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. Thank you for listening and putting up with me.
Thank you, Martin.
Good, we're doing it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, everybody. Just a couple of notices today. Should have mentioned, of course, at the start of the service that the Methodists have had a service at the Pastures this morning, so that's why a number of them aren't with us today. So we remember them and their service there. On Wednesday and Friday this week, we have our prayers at 11 a.m. as usual. Next Sunday morning, we're having a hybrid church and Zoom service led by the local worship group, the LRW. And if you want to be in church next Sunday morning, please do let Janet know so that we can ensure that we are able to maintain our social distancing as we still need to do. But we will be on here at Zoom, and it will be a fairly prompt start because we, of the church, we start fairly promptly at 11 next Sunday, whereas when we just have the Zoom, we tend to have the chat and greetings all beforehand. We tend to start a little bit quicker on the day when it's in church. And Keith's Club are meeting at 10:45 next Sunday morning as well. So if you are coming into church, please come in through the High Street entrance rather than through the Waitrose car park. And Lois, you've got lots of plants, I understand.
Oh, yes. This is very true. There are new ones have arrived in the form of lovely red plug plants, geraniums from Cramden Nursery. I took delivery of them yesterday. So they're very fresh and just waiting to be picked up and popped into your hanging baskets or your planters or wherever you want to put them.
Okay.
So yes, please. I mean, it's just one of the examples of things that are here. So please do come and save me from doing all the watering, you know. I need to get rid of these plants. So please come and select some.
Do we need to make an appointment, Lois, or can we just turn up?
No, just turn up, pick what you want. If I'm not about, put money through the letterbox, a donation, that's all I ask. Oh, Paul just reminded me, gift aid. If you put in a donation, and you're able to gift aid, then please give me the number of your address and your postcode, and I can put it on the gift aid list.
Okay. And the donations are going to Lois?
Christian Aid. It's all going to Christian Aid.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other notices from anybody this morning?
Yeah. I don't know. We can find out. We'll email and find out.
Hello. we were talking about walking earlier. I'm doing a sponsored walk next Saturday morning in aid of Bowel Cancer UK. I know it's all a little bit awkward because I'm not seeing anyone at the moment particularly, but if anyone would like to sponsor me, I have got a Just Giving page, or I will be in church on Sunday and would happily accept any donations that anyone would like to do. There's three of us from our support group just walking 5 miles next Saturday morning. But also in regards to walking as well, on Saturday, the 11th of September, it's the annual Ride and Stride. And I intend to do that and walk around quite a few of the churches in Northampton. I think Bob might be joining me for some or all of it. But if anyone else would like to do that, then feel free to, again, join us all or part of it. That would be really good. And that's to raise money for the historic
Northamptonshire Churches Trust, or the way around.
Yeah, they've all got
historical Northamptonshire historical churches. Yes, that's it.
Yeah, although it's the Historic Churches Trust, they actually support work in all churches, however modern they might be. But they give grants for projects and building works in churches throughout Northamptonshire. So it's a good charity. It's not just going to ancient monuments, as sometimes people think from the title.
So yeah, if anyone would like to sponsor me for my walk next week, which is for Bowel Cancer UK, then let me know. Or if you want to join me on September the 11th to walk around the churches in Northampton, let me know about that as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? No? In which case, we will share our greetings and go and enjoy our day. And hopefully there will be some sunshine this afternoon for us to enjoy as well.
Not a good in Kettering.
Now, come on, be hopeful and positive.
Well, I've already cancelled the Barbie for this afternoon. I just messaged my friend and said, forget it.
I think it was because you put your shorts on.
I've been on all week.
Okay.
My shorts have been on all week. Well, different pairs, obviously, not the same.
Let's not get too complicated. Oh, it was Andrew. Lovely. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
God bless. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.